And we are going to have what this afternoon? A picnic. A picnic. And so, of course, if we're going to have a picnic this afternoon, Pastor Ron is going to talk about picnics. We're going to get a little bit of a theological, historical basis for picnics. And, of course, you're asking, is there a theologically, historical basis for picnics? Well, of course. Of course there is. Picnics are wonderful, aren't they? They are wonderful, but what we don't understand, or few of us understand, is that they're also very powerful, and they have been powerful throughout God's history, throughout God's story, His story. Because throughout the Bible, God uses picnics in a powerful way to teach people about who He is and to teach people about who He wants us to know Him as. So today, let's look at a few. There's going to be about four of them, four of these what we call picnic powers. It's got to be alliterated, right? Picnic powers. The first picnic power comes from the book of Genesis, of course. If it's going to be historical, we're going to start at the beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, these words are written. And the Lord God took the man and put him in where? The Garden of Eden, to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden. We're going to cut it off there before it gets to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, this is just God and man, right? And it's outside. It's in the garden. Who's going to join them, a trio, make it a trio of a picnic? Who's going to join them pretty soon? Eve, right? And so it's Adam, it's Eve, and it's God. Adam and Eve are created and placed in a garden. They're told to eat of any of the fruit and veggies, and so they did. Now, when you eat outside, presumably on the ground, because there was no furniture, right? When you eat outside, presumably on the ground, as they did, eating fruits and veggies, what does that qualify this meal as? A picnic. Yes, I tried to find ancient Hebrew picnic, but unfortunately. So their very first meal ever is a picnic. And who did they share, Adam and Eve, share the picnic with? With God. God was there to dine with them. And why is that important? It shows us that God created Adam and Eve for relationship. And God walked and talked with them in the garden. He ate with them in the garden. And so this first picnic was powerful because it was a time to commune. It was a time to share with God. This picnic, the Bible, it is here. It is found at the very beginning of the Bible, and it's there to teach us the power of relationship, relating specifically, interestingly enough, over a meal, what the Bible commonly calls breaking bread together, right? Beloved, we were created to be in relationship with God. We were created to know God. We were created to be known by God, for God to know us. We were created to be loved by God and to love God and to love one another, right? Biblically speaking. And so each and every day, we need to set aside time to simply relate. Relate with God specifically. I find it best in the morning before the world grabs me and I start relating in other ways, right? But relating vertically with God, but also relating with each other. Because at times at work and things like that, very little relationship actually goes on, right? And why? Because we're not consciously there for the other people. They're not consciously there for us. We're too busy focusing on other things. But when we stop working apart from one another, and we actually sit down with one another, and the best times during a day of doing that is at the meal times, when we take a break from the work, right? And we actually begin to kind of focus on something other than the work. We have an opportunity to commune, not just with one another, but also commune with God, because many of us begin each meal with what? A prayer, which is a focus on God, which is an invitation for him to be there. Actually, it's an acknowledgement that he is there, is what it truly is. And when we say a prayer before we eat, we're inviting God to join us, and we open ourselves up to his presence. And of course, we lose that sense of intimacy. We lose that sense of connection, that sense of relationship when we eat, as we commonly do, quote, on the go. Think about it, beloved. When we eat while we work, when we eat while we drive our kids to soccer practice, when we eat between meetings, we aren't taking the time to relate, are we? We're not taking the time to remember that God is with us. So we need to carve out some time with God, and mealtime is a good time to do that on a regular basis. It not only strengthens our relationship with God, but it also, if we do it with people at work, in an understanding that we are indeed meeting with Christ at the same time, with our relationship with other believers. And that's why family meals are so important, that connectedness, the relationship, and also bringing God into that relationship on those family meals time. It's also why church family meals or church picnics are so important. We're not going to go there and just focus on the food and feeding our fat little faces, are we? We're going there for a purpose. The purpose is to commune together as God's family. And then also to actually go and anoint some of God's family in the choice that they have made. It's feeding our friendships. It's feeding our unity. That's the power of relationships that come with a church picnic. A second picnic power I want us to look at comes from the life of Moses. And there are various scriptures. But when the masses needed food, who provided food every morning? And what was it called? Manna, right? And where was it found? On the ground. Anytime you're picking up food off the ground and eating it, you're at a picnic. You're at a picnic. God gave them every day, every week, for 40 years, a picnic, literally. Manna covered the ground like dew for the Jews who collected what they needed. Communally, they collected what they needed. If they collected more than they needed, it rotted immediately. Much like our relationships when we don't commune. What did he also give them when they started complaining, as we do, about just having buns? Meat, right? Quail, which is great. So the picnic reminds us of what power? The power of provision, the power of God to provide. And again, food is just kind of a symbol. He actually provides everything, does he not? The water we drink, the air we breathe. Water we drink was also very powerful provision for the people of Israel as they were on their wandering. It's God's power to provide. Now, and again, think about it. Was it just the bread? Was it just the manna that he provided? No. In time, they also got quail. They also got water. When we look at who's bringing what sign-up list for this long-lasting picnic, who's the only name on the list? It's God, right? There's no other names. God's providing it all. He's providing everything. By the way, it was at this time that age-old phrase was developed, it ain't no picnic. Because even though it was, it sure didn't feel like it a lot of times to the Jews, did it? When we come together for a picnic, it's an example of God's power to provide. At least we should be understanding that it's an example of God's power to provide us. Provide us with the food to eat, the water we drink every day, sustenance, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, all of the provisions. We may work hard at cultivating food. We may work hard at making money so that we could buy food, but we forget that God is actually the one who provides the food. God's the one who makes the sun shine, the rain to fall. He's the one who created the world in such a way that fruits, vegetables, plants actually grow, right? And we need to take time to remind ourselves how much we depend totally on God. And when there is a drought and the crops fail, we're reminded that we can't make it rain. We can't make crops grow on our own. We need God and we need Him for every aspect of our life. The picnic that the Israelites experienced every day for 40 years teaches us that we are dependent upon God to provide for us. Not only food to eat, water to drink, air to breathe, everything. Picnics have the power to remind us that God provides all of that. For whom? It's for us. And we take time to understand that. The third picnic that we're looking at is the picnic we heard Robert Morris talk about so well last week. He actually immersed us in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, right? For those who were here, we were actually the disciples that went up to Jesus and said, excuse me, but we need to cut this service short because the people need food. And there's a great interaction that Robert Morris had. Jesus' provision when he fed the entire community with 5 loaves and 2 fish is the only miracle, actually, that's covered in all 4 of the Gospels. The only picnic is covered all 4 of the Gospels in the New Testament. Now, the power of this picnic wasn't just in how or what Jesus provided. The power was seen in the leftovers, right? The leftovers. Sure, he provided, but he provided in abundance. God's power of abundance. And after everyone ate, the disciples had enough. They gathered up 12 baskets full of bread. There was more than enough for everyone. There was an abundance. And in many picnics, we see the power of abundance because we usually have more than enough for everyone to eat, and that is certainly our hope today. And it's my hope that in experiencing God's provision, in experiencing God's abundance today, we learn that yes, God loves us, but he also wants us to share that love with others, to share that love with others. So here's the truth. The abundance that God provides isn't a blessing for us to hoard. It's a surplus given so that we can share, so that we can share with others. We share with others God's love. We share with others God's abundance. God has blessed us as a church. God has blessed us as a community. God has blessed us as a nation. And the physical abundance that he has given is not to be stored. It's not to be saved. It's not to be hoarded. It's to be shared with those who need it. That's why he has given it. It's just like our salvation. It's not to be saved, and it's to be shared, right? It's to be given away. It's to bless others with it as we have been blessed. If you have an abundance of shoes, share them with those in need in Haiti. Now, ladies, I'm not just specifically talking to you, no. If you have an abundance of food, share with your neighbor. Give it away to a food bank, whatever. If we have an abundance of time, volunteer to help in the church or the community. If we have an abundance of love, find those who are lonely. Find those who are hurting. Find those who are in need and love them. It could be infants who need to be held, teens that need to be coached, young couples who need marital support, older adults who need to be visited. If we have love to share in abundance, which we all do, because God has made it abundant for us, share it. Share it. Now, I'm not only asking you to do that. God has commanded that we do that. Love one another as I have loved you. The power of this picnic that Jesus provided for in mass teaches us another truth. When we share God's abundance, we get even more in return. Because you can't outgive God. Go ahead, try. Just try. We give you that permission. And the last picnic that I want to talk about or to highlight comes from the life of the early church or the Acts church. And it shows us that picnics have the power of community, of building community. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They ate together in each other's homes. They ate and had glad and generous hearts. They weren't, all right, here, I'll share. Here, please, take this. Take this. I want you to have it. God wants you to have it. It's a means of building unity. It's also a means of having fun, eating together, joining together, enjoying one another, and it formed community, what they called koinonia. This took place in the very early days of the church, and thousands of people were coming to the disciples. Thousands of people were wanting to join their movement and follow Jesus. And God used a continual picnic-like experience to help form and to help strengthen this growing community. God used people sharing food, sharing necessities, sharing time together to form relationships that would help nurture and support the group as a whole. And yes, there is power in a picnic to form community, but it goes beyond that. For God used this picnic to also grow the community. It says here that the Lord added to their numbers those being saved daily. So, God was bringing people to his new community. Who was bringing people? God was bringing people to his new community. And they came because they saw the power of community in part by how people ate together with glad and sincere hearts and made sure that everybody had enough. And again, eating was just a symbol of everything. Of everything. Beloved, because the early church was a positive and powerful place to be, people wanted to be a part. They wanted to be a part of it. People want to be a part of what's going on. And that's true truth. God brings people. We help build community. Then God makes the community grow. God brings people. We help grow the community. And God then allows that growth. Continues to provide for that growth. And he does so again in abundance. That's the power of common unity or community that goes and shows us simply here that picnics done right grow communities doing right or grow churches that are doing right. So what we're doing today is indeed powerful. You don't want to miss it. It does have an historical background. Be a part of history. Come to the picnic. Through our picnic, God's going to develop relationships. Through our picnic, God is going to remind us that he provides and that he provides in abundance so that we can help provide for others, so that we can share with others. And God will be present there to heal and to strengthen friendships, to heal and to strengthen marriages, to heal and to strengthen families. And God will be working through our picnic to, number four, build his church, build his community. And oh yes, there is power in a picnic. And so I want us to watch this little video. Watch this because it has kind of a surprise ending. Which ours will, too.
They damn that river on the 21st. Today's the 17th.
Don't I know it?
We got but 4 days to get to that treasure. After that, it'll be at the bottom of a lake. We ain't gonna make it walking.
Well, that's right. Go for Everett.
But the old tactician's got a plan. For the transportation, that is, I don't know how I'm going to keep my coiffure in order.
How's this a plan? How are we going to get a car?
Sell that. I figure you can only have painful association for Wash.
To Washington, Bartholomew Hogwaller, from his loving Cora, and more to this is.
This is in his bureau. I reckon it'll fetch us enough cash for a good used auto voucher and a little left over besides.
Whew. You got some light fingers, Everett. Gopher?
You miserable little snake. You stole from my kin!
Who was fixing to betray us.
You didn't know that at the time.
So I borrowed it till I did know.
That don't make no sense!
Pete, it's a fool who looks for logic in the chambers of the human heart. Now, what the hell is that saying?
Appears to be some kind of a congregation. Care for some gopher?
No, thank you, Delmer. A third of a gopher would only arouse my appetite without bedding her back down.
Oh, you can have the whole thing. Me and Pete already had one. We ran across a whole gopher village.
Hard times flush the chump. Everybody's looking for answers. Enjoy. Where the hell's he going?
Well, dear. Delmar's been saved.
Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's a straight and narrow from here on out. And heaven everlasting's my reward.
Delmer, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry.
The preacher said all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo.
I thought you said you was innocent of those charges.
Well, I was lying. And the preacher said that sin's been washed away, too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
Weeks near.
Huh? And all God's people said, small little picnic, but you saw the relationship, the bonding going on there. And I asked Scott if we were going to have some different meat. He said that I get gopher because a sniper went out and found one this morning on the golf course, so that's really... I'll let you take a bite. I share in abundance. Yes, we're going to be having a baptism as well. And it's a great time of community gathering and watching and supporting some people who indeed are declaring that they are free. That their sins have been washed away, and that they are following Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, yes, we do want to go. We do want to support them. Why do we want to be baptized? Well, for one thing, Jesus was baptized. We're following his example, right? That we be baptized. So it's part of obedience. And we would like to show the rest of the world of our decision and allow the rest of the world, and especially the church, to hold us accountable to that decision. Amen? So please do come. Experience the power of a picnic. Be part of that power. Come with the right mind. That means a mind that's opened up with God and people, loving God and loving others. And let's come and support those who indeed are showing their decision to the rest of the world. Amen? John. Father, we do ask that you indeed bless the people who are being baptized today. Bless us all as we commune together. But mostly, bless us with your presence, an acknowledgement of your presence. Help us to know that you are there. Help us to acknowledge and keep you before us in this time that we gather together. For we are gathered together commonly because we are your family, because we are your children. And it's fun to watch our children be baptized. So thank you for making us a family through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for binding us together through your Holy Spirit. And let's continue to experience that and grow your church here on earth, your kingdom. We pray it all in the very powerful name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.